She has sung with the St. Louis Municipal Opera, the New York City Opera, and the NBC TV Opera. She has done some film work also, most recently in Dirty Harry with Clint Eastwood. Other stage roles include Nurse Ratched in the San Francisco production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Domina in the original Broadway and film version of A Funny Thing Happened to Me on the Way to the Forum. And of course, she is now playing Miss Hannigan, director of the Girls' Orphanage in Annie. By the way, next Thursday's performance will mark the 1,000th performance of Annie, and Annie is scheduled to run at the Forest Theater through September 7th. Welcome to Fresh Air, Ruth. And I have to tell you that your performance in Annie was really the highlight of the show for me.
Thank you. Thank you.
In Annie, your first appearance as Miss Hannigan, it just exudes evil. It's a comic role and an evil, and has its moments of comedy, but there is a real evil presence there. Do you feel that on stage when you're exuding it in the audience? What's going through you emotionally at points like that?
No, I must tell you, from the very beginning of my, quote, career, which began late, in, according to some people's standards, I didn't go into theater until I got out of college. I had trained, I suppose, to be a teacher. I really wasn't quite of this world then. I was in a cloud somewhere. But I fell in with a group that was doing, all worked around one accompanist. I had majored in music in school, and we were going to produce Hansel and Gretel on weekends in the summer. In English, and I was going to be the witch, and I put $18 in the kitty as everybody else did, and since I knew how to type, I did the PR. But I must tell you that it was like playing in the attic on a rainy day for me. It had the quality of performing. I had no idea what it was, except I was having a great time. And then to get the feedback that was so tremendous. And my instincts, which have always played a big part in my work, were to make the witch evil and yet silly. She happened to like to eat cookies made out of children, but that there wasn't a sense of evil in that for her, because it was just wasn't. So in a way, she was a cartoon character, but her reality was still very real. She was hungry, and that's what she planned to eat. And she was very mean to the children. And she thought she was all power. It was all the things that Miss Hannigan is. It was all the things that Nurse Ratched was, at different levels. But all human people, human characters, overlaid with evil, sense of humor, whatever it is they wanted, and how they proposed to get it.
So at those moments on stage when you say things like "you rotten orphan," and it's there, like, is that sort of a whole complex of emotions you're feeling?
No. She's a rotten orphan. She got me out in the middle of the night running away again. That's all. It's not evil. She's evil. I'm good.
Okay, thanks for clarifying, Fred. your role is a mix of comedy and evil. How did that evolve? And was your original concept of the role, did that change the balance between that? What was it originally?
It took me, I originally played her almost straight. I had come back from straight theater, which I had wanted to do very much. And I played her, even play her straight now, that is that everything she does, yes, I use shtick, and yes, I milk moments, but hopefully all within the context of a real person whom I consider, and everybody else considers, quite idiotic at times. But she has evolved from and she's still evolving. That's what I love about her. She's very livable. I don't think I could stay on the road 2.5 years and think about another year doing it without having someone that I enjoyed playing. So that I would say it took me 6 months to get her where I really wanted her, and then refine.
Are most of the roles you've played subject to evolution like that?
Yes, but the problem in, let's say, in rep theater, which you mentioned, or even in opera, is that you never get enough performances to really get what you want. And then the challenge, once you get what you want, is to recreate it every night as though it's fresh.
The production of Annie that you're in now is a touring production, and it's followed a fairly successful Broadway Annie. Did you feel burdened as you started the play by preconceptions of how things were played?
In the case of Dorothy Loudon, who had, as you know, won a Tony for her portrayal, I hadn't seen her work, But the thing that Charnin has kept, that's Martin Charnin, whose idea, who born the idea, birthed the idea of Annie, and then wrote the book and directed it, that he, his approach, there are no two companies that are the same, because he insists that, no, that we not play it, not we not imitate anybody else, but that we play it as we're going to play it, and then he will tell us where he finds the positive things and take off from there. And that's the way I've been handled. And I think Norwood Smith the same, and certainly Mary Kay.
The cast does feature seven young actresses playing the orphans,
right,
at the orphanage, which you officiate at. How is it to work with kids? Are there any differences between working with kids and the seasoned professionals of the theater that you're...
Well, you have to know that these kids have been pretty much... These kids are not allowed to do anything but what they're doing.
What are they, some of the limits that they have to respect?
Their timing has to be the same. Everything but them has to be the same. Now, within, they're always asked for more reality and more listening to each other. We all are. You get into lousy habits playing a long run. But the kids do not vary. I can vary. Other people in the cast can vary with timing. But if you vary your timing with a child who's been going a certain way, You throw the scene, and then they start to giggle, and then they get, because that's all the further they're allowed to venture into, quote, acting. Mary Kay, on the other hand, is quite instinctively able to take changes in variety.
Mary Kay plays Annie.
Mary Kay Lombardi plays Annie in this company, and I'm not denying that the other children can and do and have taken things that I've tossed to them very well, but I cannot consciously say I'm going to try this tonight. You've got to give them what they expect. And then they will feed back.
Do you spend much time with them off stage?
Yeah, sometimes in some cities more than others. There are cities where they live closer to me backstage. Here I deal with them because we finish scenes frequently together, and we deal with the elevator together. And, of course, before the show we gather together, checking in and so forth. But some, I spend more time with some than with others, as we do with all friends anywhere.
How about just the entire cast in general? Do you feel like not really being around other... You need your space off stage?
Well, yes, we all pretty much claim our space. I'm very fortunate to have a private dressing room, whereas your ensemble people frequently are thrown into situations where they are together morning, noon, and night. But it's a wonderful company. It's a family, and we're very supportive of each other and very caring. This road experience, first of all, the cast is so wonderful, and secondly, because we have more frequent openings than New York has, we are demanded to reach a certain kind of level again for a new opening, because those press, those reviews are important, and because there are new, and just because that's the way Charnin feels, this thing needs a shot in the arm. Therefore, we at least twice a year, when there are contract changes, spring and fall, where they're apt to be contracting, or any other major changes in the cast, there is a reevaluation, and that's also marvelous. So it's not just a thing frozen in time. It is allowed to change.
Another role that you played for a fairly long time, a year and a half, is Nurse Ratched,
yeah,
in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, yeah, a production that was produced in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Now, that's a really hateful role.
Yeah. Well, again, I can't play a role that I don't care about.
What did you find in Nurse Ratched?
I found Nurse Ratched frighteningly close to me, in that, not that I'm necessarily evil, but I could understand her, in that she felt she was doing right. And if I played her like she felt she was doing right, she wasn't evil, except in other people's eyes. Everything she did was so wrong. She was so sure. She probably hadn't cracked a book in 10, 12 years. She had been able to survive in a system that's not easy to survive in. That is in the
institutional
mental hospital
setting.
That's,
yeah,
right. And then institutional setup, and had a certain amount of clout and a certain amount of position, which she maintained. But she felt that everything she was doing was right.
Can I ask what you learned about Nurse Ratched, and like if it was like the same type of 6-month process of?
Yes, yes. I was very fortunate. The parts that I have, I feel, done the best, and Nurse Ratched was one of them, along with Annie, is that I had a lot of help along the way in establishing the role. I played in a small theater in San Francisco called The Little Fox, which had a thrust stage and seated about under 400. So that you, and you, it was an intimate production by that, and also it was a production that drew people in, as opposed to a proscenium production like New York, the New York production, original New York production of the show. So that you were really involved. It was almost like having a gallery in a medical school, but there was no glass in front of those people. They were really involved with relationships and the terrible things that were, and also the humor. The humor was so ridiculous, and you had to have humor or you would all go out and cut your throats.
Did you research it in any way, your role?
No, I wasn't able. I came into the show again late. I was working ACT, and at a time when I was not working ACT, there was an opening in the production. I had seen the production. I came out saying, I've got to play this role sometime, because I thought it was fascinating. What was the question?
If you had done any research, go to any hospital?
No, they had gone to a hospital, and... But I was, and by comments of people who, nurses and people who had worked in those institutions to me later, discovered that what I felt about her was right on. And so that I, from my own life, discovered I had experiences that showed me what she was like and how she would react.
Did you find in the relationship that you have with McMurphy, who was the lead character played by Jack Nicholson in the movie, and Billy, the person, the young boy who stuttered, and it was a fairly emasculating relationship between Nurse Ratched and Billy, and got pretty intense towards the end. Did you find that this intensity had to be compensated for offstage, or did you see my...
Yeah, well, that was a very tight company, because we played in that off-Broadway situation. Then you have a theater whose dressing rooms are you're living together. You're on top of each other, literally, the whole evening. And luckily for me, I had people that I loved as people. Plus this great help from the stage manager, who was able to sit out front. The light booth in that theater was out front, so he not only called his lighting cues, but was able to make his notes on my work from an audience point of view.
Give you some feedback.
And, that's, right. And that was wonderful.
You've done it like with the ACT in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Many stage roles, which I'd imagine would be quite different from musical comedy roles. Are there any essential differences you can share with us?
No, I think any one of those shows that I played in could be set to music. And I don't mean this has to be an opera. There are monologues that are arias, literally. But I found I did take a great deal of my musical training and background with me, and luckily Bill Ball, who is the director of that company, feels the same way about music and talks in musical terms, so that you have a shape to scenes, you have a beginning, a middle, and an end, you have loud and soft, your forte, your pianissimo, you have arias that with great stretch of voice. Now, to do all this and keep it within the realm of theater and not make it sound as... You know, as we're analyzing it, so that you mask some of that, or I'm looking for a word that I can't find, but you give it meaning. There's a reason for your saying things in that way, not just music. But that musical background was tremendous value to me.
Are there is there a type of liberty or flexibility that you can take in one case? You can't
yes.
take.
Exactly. Certainly the most stringent and most tight is the opera, where your spoken lines are usually, they're accompanied, recitative, or the parlando things, where they are within given, and you have to take that beat from your conductor. You go into musical comedy, your scenes are played as theater, and are directed as theater, but your music is still, you have someone there telling you what to do.
Yeah, there's time. There's outside timing.
That's right.
In post.
That's right. And that's, I think, possibly why I wanted to go to straight theater. I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to know the craft better, and secondly, I wanted the opportunity to time be my own conductor.
How about the types of direction that you'd get? You said that while at ACT, the direction spoke to your musical understanding. But is there any differences between the type of direction, either regarding timing or blocking or interpretation of a role or whatever, between a non-musical stage role and a musical comedy role?
Yes, the musical comedy is you can't take the time with musical comedy that you can take with theater. It just isn't, unless it's a very, very unusual production.
Do you get more into interpretation of the character in one setting than in the other, or is there,
well,
depending on production?
Depending on production. Usually, in rep theater, for me, there was never enough time. There was never enough time to prepare the show, and never enough time to play it. But it was a stretching of a lot of muscles that I didn't have, and so it had a great value for me in touching base with all those things. I felt, in coming back to Annie, which was I had done a revival of How to Succeed in 75, and I had done something in St. Louis in 76, but mainly I'd been in theater now for about 14 years and done very little, if any, singing. So that I came back with a whole fresh, reinvigorated approach and much more confidence in my craft, myself, my own craft, than I ever had before. And luckily, he touched base with a director who was willing to let me plumb all those things, not just take his readings.
When considering a role, reading across scripts, or however you evaluate what your next experience is going to be, what's attractive about a role? What do you look for in a role?
Depth, conflict, humanity, problems, not just kind of cardboard characters, people with problems.
Do they have to be problems that you've had, problems or problems that you can relate to, not narratively?
Well, yes, preferably. I mean, I've never been in a concentration camp. I mean, there are many things I have not suffered in my life, and I don't mean conflicts as suffering, but just so that there's something interesting to deal with.
Are there
in a subtext?
Are there roles that you'd like to do sometime in the future?
I don't know. I've heard people say, "Oh, you should do Medea, and you should do." Elizabeth of Mary, you know, Mary Queen of Scots or whatever. I would love to portray I don't know, people out of history, I think. I really don't have that kind of drive to do this and that role before my time, in my lifetime. I feel that the roles will come to me, and everyone is not going to be the plum that Annie is, but that given those opportunities, that I'd just like to keep working at them.
Can I ask you if you have anything to share about working with Zero Mostel?
Yes, you mentioned Zero before. It was a marvelous experience. Marvelous experience. He's a man that was that could play any given scene a dozen different ways, and they were all valid. They were brilliant. On his good nights, he touched the stars. I didn't work opposite Z. I worked opposite Davy Burns, who was a whole other kind of marvelous comedic talent, but who worked by the book and worked, had his own set of rules, which were impeccable, were clean, wonderful, wonderful timing, and a great humanity to his work. But I played Davy's wife in the show, and that was I must correct you. I did not do the film of A Funny Thing. I did the film of How to Succeed.
I see. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
I just don't want someone out there to say you said and I didn't. I deny.
Okay, well, tell me if I'm correct in this. You did play in Dirty Harry.
I did play in Dirty Harry,
which
was filmed in San Francisco,
right, and produced by Clint Eastwood. Clint, tell us about your role first, so we
can
remember you.
Yeah, you have to know that most of the casting on the when they film in San Francisco, most of the major casting is done in Hollywood. Then minor roles are picked up in San Francisco, and I was a casting lady named Nessa Hyams at that time picked me as a possibility, and so I was interviewed, and my first question they said was, can you drive? And I said, sure, I can drive. Well, they said, there's this bus. I said, I can't drive it. Well, this goes on and on. But at any rate, I was in another show at the time and stealing out to do this film and coming in dog tired at night, and everybody said, why are you so tired? And I couldn't tell because this is almost a no-no. My bosses knew, but nobody else was to know. At any rate, it was a hijacking of a school bus before Chowchilla, right? Before school buses were ever hijacked. Which is kind of amazing that someone came up with this idea, that this nut who was sniping at everyone in running from the law spotted a school bus, got himself on there, and pulled a gun and took over the bus.
How much time did you spend with Clint Eastwood in doing this?
I spent almost no time with Clint as an actor. I spent some time in passing as a producer. He wears two caps on those occasions, and he was marvelous. He was very, very, very warm, very businesslike. Occasionally, I would see him at lunch. We have lunch out on the location. But I would love to have done another thing. And of course, when they did sequels to that, to the story of that cop, Dirty Harry, nobody was allowed to repeat. There would be different people in the cast.
It's funny. One of the I think it's becoming better known that Clint Eastwood is not the person that Dirty Harry is off the movie screen, and that that is a surprising revelation to a lot of people. Because he has such a strong image in his Dirty Harry films. Can I ask you if you're a fan of not only Dirty Harry films, but of other sort of loner detective action type?
Yeah, but not any given one in particular. I don't search them out. I don't read detective stories. Let's put it that way. I like all kinds of film if it's successful in what it's doing. Clockwork Orange struck me as just incredible. Not only the way it was done, but what it projected was going to be, and it was true. But done artistically, all the milk white sets in that coffee house,
and the use of music.
Yeah, and the makeup on the kids, and the terrible things they did.
When you were doing Dirty Harry, did you have very much of a sense of what the film was going to be like as you were doing it, or is it just a sense of your own little bits and pieces, which?
Well, I was given a story because I had a rub with the villain. I was allowed to read the script, yes, so that I knew what was happening. And but we were given no. Don Siegel doesn't work in any let's say actor studio way. You just simply play your scenes.
Well, you're now, of course, playing Miss Hannigan in Annie, and. Do you have a chance to see Philadelphia much? You've been here for a while, but...
I see it in bits and pieces. As a rule, my first part of the week, I go to New York. Excuse me. So that leaves me Thursdays and Fridays. And if I have time, then I love to walk. So I try to combine the walking with the sightseeing. I still want to get back to the Rodin Museum, which was something I saw as a teenager. Now, I'm sure there are many other things here that have equal... will have equal interest for me, but that's a sentimental journey.
Are you able to keep in touch with the people that you'd like to keep in touch with who aren't in Philadelphia, or is that reserved for after you finish Annie?
Well, I can't reserve. I get on the phone an awful lot because it's so easy in a life like this to lose track of time and to lose track of people who are important and whose continuity I need to sustain me, too.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming here. I've been speaking with Ruth Cobart, and she's now playing the role of Miss Hannigan in the production of Annie, which is at the Forest Theater. It's there through September 7th, and this Thursday will mark the 1,000th performance of Annie. Thanks again for coming here.
Thank you. I loved it.
Right now, let's hear something from Annie. This won't be Ruth Cobart, but it will be the role that Ruth Cobart is now playing in Annie. And the name of this number is Little Girls, and it helps to illustrate what Ruth Cobart's character feels about little girls.
Everything around me is little. If I wring little necks, surely I will get an acquittal. curls. Send the FUD, send the flu, anything that you can do.
Little Girls, that was performed by Dorothy Loudon in the role of Miss Hannigan. Just a few moments ago, I was speaking with Ruth Cobart, who is playing Miss Hannigan in the touring production of Annie, now at the Force Theater in Philadelphia.